Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Archeries Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Buddhism, the Religion of No Religion, presents Alan Watts at his most clarifying and provocative, exploring Buddhism not as a set of beliefs to accept, but as an experiential way of seeing, drawing on his long work interpreting Asian philosophies for Western readers. Watts highlights how Buddhist practice can feel religious in its rituals and communities, while remaining fundamentally non-dogmatic in its approach to truth. Rather than asking readers to convert, he invites them to examine how the sense of a separate self is constructed and why this construction fuels dissatisfaction. The book frames core Buddhist ideas in accessible language, connecting meditation, everyday awareness, and ethical living to a deeper shift in identity. Watts also addresses common misunderstandings, such as treating Buddhism as pessimistic or as a self-improvement project, and instead emphasizes awakening to reality as it already is. The result is an inviting entry point for curious beginners and a refreshing reorientation for seasoned practitioners. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, no religion as a spiritual approach. A central theme is the idea that Buddhism can be approached as a religion of no religion, meaning it does not require assent to a fixed creed in the way many Western religious forms do. Watts explores how Buddhist traditions include temples, ceremonies, and lineages, yet their most distinctive feature is a practical orientation toward direct insight. Instead of building faith around metaphysical certainty, the emphasis falls on seeing how experience works from moment to moment. This framing helps readers understand why Buddhism can be simultaneously familiar and radically different. It can look like a religion socially, while functioning more like a method for waking up, psychologically and existentially. Watts also clarifies that this does not mean Buddhism is anti-religious or anti-sacred. Rather, it shifts the sacred away from doctrines and toward immediate life, awareness, and the nature of mind. In doing so, he challenges the assumption that spirituality must be grounded in belief. The reader is encouraged to treat teachings as tools, not as final answers, and to evaluate them by their capacity to reduce confusion and suffering. Secondly, the illusion of the separate self. Watts devotes significant attention to the Buddhist critique of the isolated ego, presenting the self as a process rather than a solid entity. He explains how the feeling of being a separate controller inside the body can become a persistent tension, shaping fear, craving, and defensive behavior. In this view, much suffering arises from trying to secure and protect something that is not as fixed as it seems. The book connects this insight to the Buddhist idea of no permanent self, not as a gloomy claim that nothing matters, but as a liberating recognition that identity is fluid, interdependent, and relational. Watts often translates this into everyday terms. The self is less like a thing and more like a pattern, comparable to a whirlpool in water. When a person sees the self as a pattern in a larger field of life, rigid boundaries soften. This softening can reduce anxiety, competitiveness, and chronic self-judgment. The topic also helps readers make sense of why Buddhist practice is not about constructing a better ego, but about loosening the grip of ego altogether, allowing compassion and clarity to arise more naturally. Thirdly, meditation as seeing, not escaping. Another key topic is meditation understood as a form of clear seeing rather than a technique for withdrawal or self-anesthesia. Watts emphasizes that Buddhist practice is frequently misunderstood as an attempt to suppress thought or flee the world. Instead, meditation is presented as learning to observe experience without compulsive interference. This includes noticing sensations, emotions, and thoughts as events that arise and pass, rather than as commands that must be obeyed. Such attention can reveal how the mind manufactures distress through resistance, rumination, and grasping. The book highlights the practical implications when awareness is steady. As lion, unpleasant experiences may still occur, but they are less likely to become layered with secondary suffering such as panic, resentment, or shame. Watts also discusses the paradox that genuine calm does not come from forcing calm, but from allowing life to be as it is. This reframes practice from achievement to receptivity. Meditation becomes a training in intimacy with reality, including ordinary moments, boredom, and uncertainty. The reader comes away with a sense that practice is not separate from life, but a way of meeting life directly, with less division between observer and observed. Fourthly, suffering, desire, and the middle way, Watts explores classical Buddhist concerns about dissatisfaction and the ways craving and aversion shape human life. Rather than presenting Buddhism as pessimistic, he positions it as realistic about how people tend to seek lasting security in experiences that are inherently changing. The discussion clarifies that desire is not simply condemned, the problem is compulsive grasping, the insistence that something transient must provide permanent fulfillment. By examining how pleasure quickly becomes normal, how achievements require maintenance, and how identity depends on external validation, the book illuminates why dissatisfaction can persist even in comfortable circumstances. Watts also points toward the middle way, a practical balance between indulgence and repression. Instead of battling desire with moral rigidity, the middle way involves understanding desire, seeing its mechanics, and loosening the belief that fulfillment lies just over the next horizon. This perspective can help readers replace harsh self-control with wiser self-knowledge. It supports a more stable happiness rooted in presence, relationship, and perspective, rather than in constant acquisition. The theme links Buddhist insight to modern life, where endless options and comparisons intensify craving and make contentment feel elusive. Lastly, Zen influences and direct awakening. The book is also shaped by Zen sensibilities that stress immediacy, simplicity, and direct realization. Watts often highlights how Zen points beyond conceptual understanding, not because thinking is bad, but because concepts can be mistaken for reality itself. This topic emphasizes the difference between talking about awakening and recognizing what is already present. Readers are encouraged to notice how the mind tries to grasp spiritual insight as an object, turning awakening into another possession for the ego. Zen-style teaching undercuts that tendency by using paradox, humor, and plainness to interrupt habitual patterns. Watts connects this to the broader claim that Buddhism is not mainly a system of belief, but a shift in perception. This shift can reframe everyday life, so ordinary acts and ordinary surroundings are no longer treated as mere means to an end. Instead, the present moment becomes the place where life actually occurs. By emphasizing directness, the book helps readers see why over-intellectualizing spirituality can become a substitute for living it. The aim is not to accumulate ideas, but to recognize the inseparability of self and world, and to act from that recognition with more ease and compassion. In conclusion, this book suits readers who are curious about Buddhism but hesitant about religion, as well as long-time practitioners who want a fresh framing that cuts through jargon and spiritual performance. It is especially useful for Western readers who may have inherited the assumption that spirituality must rest on belief, guilt, or doctrinal certainty. Watts shows how Buddhist practice can be profoundly serious without being heavy, and how its insights can translate into daily life through a calmer relationship with thought, emotion, and identity. The benefit is practical when you stop treating the ego as a fragile object that must be defended. Relationships often become less combative, anxiety loses some of its fuel, and meaning is found more in attention than in accomplishment. Compared with many introductory books that either drown readers in history or reduce Buddhism to stress reduction, this work stands out for its philosophical clarity and its invitation to test ideas and experience. Watts writes with a distinctive ability to connect deep concepts to ordinary situations, making the book worth buying for its accessibility, its perspective on no self and no religion, and its enduring capacity to reorient how you see your life. If you would like to support Alan Watts, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.